Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Joe Lieberman, huh? How about that? Joe Lieberman, a lot of ways, a good man. All right, we'll get to Joe Rutter, Pittsburgh Tribune, in just a few moments. But first, our play-by-play call of the day.
Now to Reddick. Reddick fakes a three, dribbles, tries to get around a man. Refeeds Jimmy, hanging, shooting, baseline right. Good by Jimmy Butler. Nice shot. Butler with a field goal over Elfrid Payton. Now on the move to Pelicans. They go to Etuan Moore. It's up. It's blocked by Butler. And it's picked out of there by Tobias Harris. And the Sixers, Jimmy Butler, preserves a win in the Big Easy.
All right. Tommy Gettis with a call on the Sixers Network. Once again, in order to make sure that their ability to trade a healthy Anthony Davis, they're only playing him 20 minutes a game. I explained in the opening segment today that I just don't like where we're going with this. What happened to like people coming together and being we instead of it's always about me? It can't always be about somebody called the Biffer. We're WKOK. We're Sunbury Broadcasting. We're a family. You know, Cotrillo gets it. You get it, Sean. Biffer never got it. Never got it.
Got to have hope. We're hoping.
Hoping for what?
Well, one morning the light bulb will turn on. Get a whole new perspective on things.
I'm telling you, I'm a big Frilazzo fan. All right. he's a wee guy. All right. let's hit the road here. Joe Rutter is on his way to Indianapolis for the Combine from the Pittsburgh Tribune. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good. I'm Buckeye country, so anything you guys want me to throw at the citizens as I pass through?
No, just hit the accelerator, get out of there as fast as you can. We'll tell the state police that it's an emergency run.
There you go.
Okay. Joe, before we get to the combine part itself, what's your feel on Le'Veon Bell and on Antonio Brown, and also maybe even on Ben Roethlisberger?
Well, that's a
loaded start, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and I don't know if we have that much time to get into all the ins and outs of it. But, I mean, it's, you know, the Steelers find themselves in a difficult spot now. I think they did themselves some favors by cutting ties with Le'Veon Bell to start with that. That just wasn't going to work itself out, and they really – it was going to take a lot of wrangling to try to be able to make him, and you were using a transition tag and getting a pick. And I think they just decided it's best to just focus on – you know, ourselves and what we need, and to let that, you know, get to that, you know, instead of getting back to that with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, it's now become, at least on a national standpoint, Antonio Brown versus Ben Roethlisberger, which it really shouldn't be. They are two totally separate issues.
Right.
And, you know, with Antonio Brown, he's trying to force their hand, force them into this corner of, you know, having to make a decision on, you know, trading him, and they're trying to get as much as they can. They're trying to save face and, you know, pump up his worth as much as they can. They're not in a great position right now. And then, you know, you've got Ben Roethlisberger who's having his leadership questioned, you know, by former teammates and, you know, national pundits. And it's just become more of the drama that you've come to know from these Steelers the last few years, even though they're trying to distance themselves from that as much as they can.
Joe, you've obviously been around Antonio Brown a lot, but it's all, you know, I'm sure it's almost all been in interview situations and so forth.
Yeah.
How much has he changed, if at all, over the years?
It's hard for me to judge because I only came in 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
So it's, you know, some of the others that have been around him longer, they talk more of it. And, you know, so he's always kind of been the same guy as far as I've been around. He's
okay.
The guy that's only spoken on Fridays. Now, he's never been like a bad person towards me. He's never really, you know, even though he's declined to talk sometimes, he's never been mean about it.
Right.
I've always thought of him as not a bad person, but now you hear some things that have come out in the last, you know, in the last year or so with throwing the furniture, you know, the 100-mile-an-hour driving, the thing with the, you know, the mother of his child, you know, so maybe that casts him in a different light. But in my dealings with him, he's always been a decent guy, but, you know, not always the most cooperative. And when he would cooperate, never really had all that much to say. I can't speak to him changing, you know, how much he's changed.
Sure. All right, so now as you drive out to Indianapolis, does how this offseason and how it's played out, has it changed your thought on how the Steelers should be thinking about the draft, or because of Connor and Juju Smith-Schuster, there's no reason to think about changing?
Well, the real change will be, you know, what they can get for Antonio Brown and in what time they are able to make this trade. If they're able to do it as free agency starts or before the start of free agency, then that, and, you know, get draft picks, then that provides a little bit, you know, clear an indication. I mean, you know, they're going to need to get a receiver if they trade him. Otherwise, it's pretty much the same things they needed before. They need an inside linebacker, they need a cornerback, and they could use some depth at outside linebacker. Those are the three big problem areas that they face at the end of the season, and that's still that case right now. They never addressed the Ryan Shazier injury and so they got to go back to the well again this year.
I'll get to that in a moment, but how tough is it in terms of how the Steelers approach that they've been attempting year after year, it seems, to address the corner situation, and yet they keep coming up not quite empty, but at least in the neighborhood of it?
Yeah, and you look at it, their track record from a draft standpoint isn't very good, you know, in over the last decade or so. And think how bad the situation would be if they hadn't traded for Joe Hayden two years ago. He's kind of bailed them out there, you know, especially with the Artie Burns situation. So, you know, I would think cornerback is a first or second round option, you know, although I think they really would like to find an inside linebacker that can play all three downs, can go all over the field, can cover. That's one thing they found out painfully so last year, that whoever they threw out there from an inside linebacker standpoint, you know, couldn't cover tight ends and, you know, faster players. So they're going to need to address that as well. And, you know, I think at receiver, they'll have to get somebody there once Antonio Brown's traded. They're comfortable at running back. I think maybe they'll sign a veteran to, you know, be a change of pace type of guy. But really, you know, I think it's going to be very heavy on defense.
All right. When you look at how the Steelers have drafted in recent years, and you just brought that up, do you feel at times that with certain years or picks that they were too combine or athletic centric and maybe not football enough centric?
I would say you can look at that from maybe the Artie Burns draft.
Right.
And Sean Davis, they go, he's a starter out of that draft class.
Bud
Dupree as well, and they've had some misses at outside linebacker with him and Jarvis Jones, and maybe they've fallen in love too much with the athleticism, and you know, maybe they need more a guy with more football instincts that can get those type of things done. But then you go back to two draft classes ago, and you got T.J. Watt, Juju Smith-Schuster, and James Conner, who are all entering their third year, and all, you know,
right,
all three Pro Bowl players right now. So you know, some drafts they've had obvious whiffs on, but if you look back 2 years ago, you know, they had a pretty good draft class there, and what they got last year really remains to be seen.
Because I felt when they got Connor, they got Juju Smith-Schuster, obviously those two guys I'd seen in person because they played Penn State that year. I felt like, wow, I feel like they're going back to the football player part. You know, that also happens to be a good athlete, but I felt like they were going back to the football player part. And then T.J. Watt, same thing. I saw him, and I felt the same way about when they picked him, that they weren't just going with the combine guy.
Yeah, and you know, I agree to that. You know, although I think most people would say James Conner has done more so far than people thought. I don't know if the Steelers expected him to jump into a starting role in his second year. But yeah, he's definitely a straight ahead runner that isn't afraid of contact. And now they've got to get back to getting more of those type of guys, especially on defense.
You and I both know, Joe, that you don't suddenly become an awesome team through free agency in the NFL, but you can fill important gaps in free agency in the NFL. How interested are you going to be that as to how the Steelers approach free agency, and how can they then set up their draft by what they do?
Well, that's going to be something you really have to watch this year, because they actually have some money. They're about $18, $19 million under the cap, which is one reason they didn't want to get messed up with the whole Le'Veon Bell thing, because they believe that would have taken 14.5 off the books to allocate for him until you get that nonsense straightened out. So, with $19 million, they can actually go out and get some players that can help them now. I mean, look at the last few years when they had a little bit of money, not much. That's how you end up with John Bostic, Morgan Burnett, players that you're hoping you can squeeze something else out of. You can get a better caliber of player, I think, this year, and you can especially target that, maybe that cornerback spot. Maybe there's a veteran out there that you can bring in that's an upgrade over Artie Burns and Cody Sensabaugh, so that way you can go more linebacker heavy in the draft. It will be interesting to see what they do, because of they actually have some money and they won't have to wait till the next wave of players are off the board before they can jump in and try to sign somebody.
In covering the combine, what is important to you?
Well, it's hard to say from covering it, because you don't really get to watch what's going on. As a reporter, your only access is really to the interviews. Right. But to me, I think it's for them, it's more measurables. The interviews, how they test on the health. I mean, the Steelers put a lot of stock in the meetings with the players, getting to know them, and from a character standpoint. And I think that's one thing you get out of here. You finally, even from the media standpoint, you get to sit, get a few minutes and talk to these players, try to know a little bit about them. It's hard for us, though, from the media to judge from the workouts, because we really don't get to watch them live.
Right. Now, that's obviously very tough. Quarterbacks, of course, will go there. At some point, you and I both know they have to throw, but one may throw in his campus in Oklahoma, the other guy may throw in his campus at Ohio State or down in Florida for everybody, for all we know. Is it important at all that quarterbacks do a workout, in your opinion, based on the people you've talked to over the years?
I don't think so. I mean, you've seen how many that have skipped it and, done the pro day thing. I think it's good to be there, to have your, body fat measured or whatever, and do some of the other variables and get the interviews out of the way. But I don't think it's a be all end all that a guy throws out here in Indianapolis. So many there's so many cases of guys that haven't done it, and they're still they're still high draft picks.
Is there anybody that interests you that you're going to be very interested in when they get to the media room, so you get a chance to hear how they think and how they handle things?
I didn't want to see the guys that the Steelers might be interested in, linebackers like Devin White. He might go before the Steelers have him. Some of the maybe the cornerback could be first day corners, and when you look at Penn State too, and running backs, you look at Miles Sanders.
Yep.
Interested to see what he has to say, and Pitt has a guy out here, Quadri Olison, who's a late round maybe priority free agent guy. But, you'd like to see what the local guys have to say. West Virginia has a linebacker that could be there in David Long and in the later rounds for the Steelers. So, I'd like to see what the local guys have to say. And then, guys that maybe the Steelers are, targeting.
Devin Bush, when healthy, has a lot of Ryan Shazier in him. Maybe not quite the pass cover skills, but he's got a lot of Ryan Shazier in him. That's why, in watching him 2 years live. Yeah. I was glad to see you opted for the draft. Hey, Devin, way to go. Hey. I think it's a great move on your part. And by the way, I'm just glad that in not going, measure my body fat, and I don't really need to have that.
Believe me, I'd be jumping behind you in line.
Thanks, Joe. Hey, be safe out there. Appreciate your time very much, as always, Joe.
Sure, anytime.
Joe Rutter, Pittsburgh Tribune. We'll come back with more in a moment. Johnny Holiday, final half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Remember, none of us need to go sideways financially. A message from this station and the Ad Council and the Biffer. Oh, you just can't.
Kevin the Sued Her should have used that as his Twitter handle.
The Biffer?
Yeah, like Biffer271. Use the Danville prefix. Follow me on Twitter at Biffer271.
Still waiting for that first tweet.
Right. Right. And first follow.
There are words of wisdom in there somewhere.
Yes.
Words of wisdom. Duke will take on Virginia Tech tonight. No Justin Robinson again for Virginia Tech. He's as fine a college point guard as I've seen this year in person. He's really good. But this is the seventh game he's going to miss. The flip side, Zion Williamson is going to miss the game, his second straight game for Duke. That is, I want to say it's a 7 o'clock game tonight. Wisconsin is playing Indiana tonight.
Yep, that's your ESPN doubleheader there. Yes, 7 and 9.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, Indiana's just not playing well.
What, 12 and 14 currently, I believe?
Yeah, you know, when I saw them in December at the Jordan Center, I didn't like them. I'm a big Jawan Morgan guy. I like Morgan a lot. Romeo Langford has never lit me up so far watching him play. I know he was said to be the fifth overall freshman in the country. I'm like, I don't quite see it. Phillisie's not bad, but there's certain games along the way that, you know, like I say, the vast majority, 90 to 95% of games, the team that wins the game. Every once in a while, you know, from a Penn State perspective, I feel like Penn State lost the game. Well, that's a game I felt Penn State lost. You know, they didn't really walk out and go, well, Indiana won. Yeah, they ended up with more points. It felt like Penn State lost the game, and Indiana didn't really win it. And they've kind of played that way all season. I mean, they really have not. They had one good stretch where they were playing decently. And, you know how much I like Jawan Morgan. I think Jawan Morgan's terrific. But Langford doesn't light me up. Phyllis, he's okay. You know, I don't know. Wisconsin, though, let's flip it to the other side. They're a low possession team. Their offense is in spurts. For the most part, it's no better than okay. Their defense is their calling card, obviously. And when you're a low possession team, it really puts a high premium on A, you playing great defense, and B, you being as efficient as possible offensively. There is a pressure to playing that way. Ethan Happ is a really good all-around player. Happ does not shoot free throws well, but he's really good around the basket. He is a very good defender in the post. And to the credit of Ethan Happ, he is an excellent passer for a big man. So they'll play tonight against Indiana. Virginia Tech, Duke. Again, without Robinson, that's the issue. The issue is without Robinson, Virginia Tech's a different team. This is the seventh game he's missed. And, of course, Williamson won't play tonight for the second consecutive game. So that's the preview of tonight's games. There's no consensus in the NFL when it comes to what to do with instant replay. The reason is they really don't want to change it, nor do I want them to change it. It is very easy in the moment to get emotional about a pass interference call that is not called that then does assist in determining the outcome of a game. I get that. But there's a bigger picture to this, and I just don't want replay calling penalties. Being used to call penalties. We have enough stoppages in the game to begin with. Now we're going to look and see pass interference. Well, you watch the replay. One guy's grabbing his shirt, one guy's grabbing his arm. They're both pushing and shoving down the field, so you're going to call that. You're going to make a call on that. No. I've been against that since day one. I said, look, you just can't go down this road. Can't. You know, I mean, I watched, you know, obviously the Penn State-Illinois game the other day. The Griffin kid took a three-point shot. Roger Bolton came within about 12 inches of touching the player. 12 inches. And the kid flopped on the shot, and they gave him three free throws. I mean, you watch the replay. Bolton's not within a foot of the kid. All right, now do I want them reviewing that? No. Officiating is very, very difficult. But A, you can't assume, and B, you can't call stuff that you don't see. And the biggest part of all is you can't guess. I can tell you right now, when the Griffin kid went to the ground, they guessed. I can also tell you, they guessed wrong. We'll guess right next half hour because Johnny Holiday's with us on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. He is in his 40th season as the outstanding play-by-play voice at Maryland, and in January was named the Maryland Broadcaster of the Year. More importantly to me, as fine a friend as you'll ever have in this business. Johnny Holiday. Hello, Johnny.
Hi, Steve.
Great to hear from you.
That's it. Hi, Steve. I got a question. I'm calling from Altoona.
Yes, 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 Johnny and Altoona, go ahead, please.
Steve, in 1961, when the Penn State played Maryland, do you know what the score was?
I know Dick Schiner was the star of the game, Johnny.
No, I'm talking basketball, Steve, not football.
I know that Penn State didn't win, Johnny.
Oh, I thought I could. I can never get you. I tried to have something for you because I know you got that encyclopedic mind working for you. I thought I'd throw out the 1961. We played up there. We got beat 71-65. Yeah, 1961.
Yeah, and you know what? There was a common thread in that game.
No, I just neither one of us did it. Record book and picked that one out.
Neither one of us did that game, Johnny.
There's really no reason for me to bring it up, really. How you doing?
I'm doing great, friend. How you doing?
Hey, I got to tell you a nice story. I watched you guys in that big, big win you had a couple of games ago. And I was so impressed with Coach Chambers, I called Rose and I asked her, your media relations lady, who's one of the best in the business.
Yeah.
And I said, can you give me Coach Chambers' contact information? I just want to send him a note. And I said, you know, I've been watching these games for a lot of years, Coach, and that was one of the best performances by a basketball team I've ever seen. What a great coaching job you did, and how lucky they are to have you at Penn State. They were expecting to get a reply, and he sent me a nice reply back, which I thought was very, very nice. And he said, "I don't know who you are. Stop emailing me." No, he didn't. No. He was very, very gracious. Very gracious.
He said, "The only problem we have with the programs are play-by-play guy, Johnny. What is your contract?"
Well, you know what? You know how I got through to him, Steve? I said, "I'm the Steve Jones of Maryland." That's how I opened up. And maybe that caught his attention. I don't know. At least it didn't go to spam. At least he answered me.
Well, you know, he'd be the only coach up here to go, "The what? Who's Steve Jones?"
Who's that guy? What does he want? Oh, man. We're looking forward to coming up there tomorrow.
Yeah, looking forward to having you. You're 21-7, that basketball team right now.
Yeah.
And I want to start with Cowan, actually.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's invaluable in this era. I think you and I both know about the value of a 4-year guy, and I think Anthony's going to be a 4-year guy.
I do too.
What does he mean as a fulcrum for what they're doing?
I think, despite all the hoopla about Bruno and his double doubles, and you know he's had 18 of them this year, and 9 of the last 10 have been double doubles for Fernando, and all the talk about the freshman, but I'd still put my money in Anthony Cowan. As good as he goes, so goes the team. And he had a stretch there where he wasn't hitting a lot of shots. He was forcing things, and he knew it. And the interesting thing was, I asked him before the Iowa game, I said, "I'd like to do a little pregame interview with him." He said, "Nobody wants to talk to me now because I'm not playing well." I said, "Well, you know, I want to talk to you." And he's such a team guy, Steve. He doesn't care about individual points, individual assist. He just wants to win. And he is a winner. He is a winner. I guarantee he'll be back next year. And he just does so many things. He runs the floor. He knows where everybody should be. And once he gets on a roll, when he gets in a rhythm, knocking down 3-pointers, he might hit 2, 3, 4 in a row. And he's a tremendous defensive player. And I think a lot of fans at Maryland forget the fact that he was on the All Big Ten defensive team last year at 5'11". And he is a tough son of a gun from a wonderful family and a great role model for young kids. One of my grandsons plays at St. Paul's in Baltimore, and he's a sophomore. And his name is Anthony, and he's 5'8". And he's got to grow a little bit to get to 5'11". He's only a sophomore. And Anthony Cowan spent time with him telling him what he has to work on. He said, "I want to know about your turnovers. I don't want to know about your points." He said, "Turnovers for me drive me nuts. Not to mention the head coach. It drives Mark Turgeon nuts."
Right.
He said, "That's the one thing I'm looking at when I'm looking at your game, Anthony. You tell me how many turnovers you got in the game, and then I'll go to the assist, then I'll go to the points." But I think he is the key to the success of this team so far, Steve. And he's had a couple of good games now, back-to-back, and it's back to the old Anthony Cowan. And he kind of got down on himself a little bit when things weren't going his way, and he was turning the ball over and missing shots. But he is a terrific kid. I wish he could stay for 3 or 4 more years, really.
Yeah, no, and I understand that because I've been a big Anthony Cowan guy since day one. When I saw him, and look, the December 1st game where Maryland beat Penn State, Anthony's the one that hit the 2 big threes, and one was a 30-footer that won the game for Maryland, and that's when you're talking about, Johnny, how he gets into that rhythm.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he doesn't back down from it. He's a tough kid. He doesn't back down from anybody. He wants the ball when the game is on the line. Give me the ball and clear out, and I'll handle this thing. And when he came in the shadows of Melo trembled, and Melo goes on, then it's his team, and he's got this thing right there in the palm of his hands, and he knows how far this team's success depends upon him, I think, anyhow, when he's having a good game, and it's been a good year for him overall.
What kind of mentor has he been for the younger players? Because Maryland is a young team with Wiggins, Ayala, Smith. What kind of mentor has he been for them?
I think tremendous. I think they listen to him. They know. And when I was kidding around, I said, he did mention on the interview we did before the Iowa game, he said, "I can't believe that I'm almost done. I only got one more year here. And I said, well, that leads me to my next question. You know what it was like to be a freshman. You know the adjustment from high school when you were the guy, and now there are eight other guys who are the guy on the basketball team. How much time do you spend with these guys relating to them what to expect and how difficult that first year is? And he said, well, you know, with these guys, I don't have to spend a lot of time because they're so good. He said, they're just far and above what any average freshman would be. They want to learn. They want to talk to you. They want to pick your brain. What was it like here? What was it like there? Then he got around to talking to the other young kids about the difficulty of winning on the road. And I think our first road game was Purdue. And he said, boys, this will be interesting. Be ready, because that's one of the toughest places to play in all of the Big Ten. And he's a tremendous role model for them. And, you know, he's a kid that gives back to society, gives back to charities, always available after the game. And made a point this past Saturday. He comes over to me. He says, congratulations, big dog. I said, excuse me, I'm the baby pup. You're the big dog on this basketball team, not me. Just a wonderful, and you've got kids like that at Pitt State, I'm sure, on the team that you just really kind of are drawn to, and you just want to see them have success. And, you know, every time he steps on the floor, you want him to hit every shot, to make every free throw, to make every steal, make every assist. Everybody's pulling for him.
Absolutely. What has an additional year meant to the maturation of Bruno Fernando?
Well, I think he learned when he was thinking, or maybe his people were thinking about him going to the NBA last year, that he found out when he went to some of those camps that, well, maybe I'll come back and work on my game a little bit harder. I think he realized he wasn't ready. And, Steve, a lot of guys don't realize that. They say, oh, no, everybody tells me I'm going to be a first-round pick, late first round, early second round, and they're neither of the two. And now they wind up playing over in Europe or in Spain or somewhere and or Australia or the G League. But he knew that he had to work on his hands. He had to work on his stamina. He had to work on staying in the game because he committed a lot of fouls last year. And some of them were just silly fouls that freshmen make over time. And he worked on those. And the big area, one of his biggest improvements, I think, we know he can rebound. We know, you know, that's automatic. But his free throw shooting, he's shooting like 76 or 77% at the line.
Yeah.
And that's amazing for a kid that goes 6'10", 240 pounds. And he's got a nice stroke, and he has really worked on his footwork, and he's worked on his toughness, because every single night he gets doubled and tripled every time he touches that ball. And then that leaves somebody open from the weak side, and we've seen time and time again, and you may see it tomorrow night, he'll get doubled in one side of the lane, and all of a sudden, here comes another guy, nice triple teamed, and that leaves somebody open. Here comes Jalen Smith to the basket, and he hits him with a beautiful pass for an easy layup. And that's an area that he's also improved upon. So he realized, if I come back for another year, and all of us are hoping he might stay for yet another year to improve on a few things here or there to make sure he's a first-round pick in the draft. Next year, not this year. I hope you come back for another year.
Right, exactly. But it is a young team, and in particular the guards. I mean, Smith was very heralded coming up. But in particular the guards, Wiggins and Ayala, what have their contributions meant to the success for Maryland this year?
I think Ayala, even though he's a freshman, you know, he spent a year down in Florida IMG Academy.
Right.
And so he's 1 year older than these other freshmen coming in. And he, you know, he's got a little beard working for him, so he looks like he's 23 years old. And boy, he can shoot. He can shoot. He's got kind of an unorthodox jump shot, as you'll see tomorrow night, and you remember from back in December. But he's got the whole package, and who knows how good he's going to be. He can shoot. He can run the floor. He only played half the game on Saturday against Ohio State. He got sick. and didn't come out for the second half and stayed back in the locker room. So another freshman, Sorrell Smith, had to step in, and he winds up by scoring a career-high 14 points and took more shots than he has in the past 10 games combined. So he's another kid. And then if you look at Aaron Wiggins, Wiggins played down in Greensboro for another former Terrapin, Keith Gatlin, who was on those teams with Lynn Bias back in 85, 86. Mm-hmm. And he was coaching down there. And so he coached Aaron Wiggins in high school, and he's a deadly three-point shooter. I think he may still lead the conference or be number two in the conference in three-point shooting. And he's a dead-eye from outside. I think the one area he'd like to improve upon is driving to the basket and getting to the free throw line a little bit more. But he's a threat to score from the outside every time he touches that ball. And both of them are just, I mean, I think all the freshmen, Steve, have really exceeded expectations for Mark Turgeon. He knew they were going to be good, but I don't think he realized they're going to be this good. And they do make, you know, freshman mistakes from time to time that you're going to have in first-year kids, but they learn from it, and they look at the video, and they say, okay, man, I can improve on this, I can improve on that, and I'm going to work on it, and they do. And the end result is you've got yourself a pretty good basketball player and a pretty good crop of freshman kids.
Maryland last year, Johnny, didn't have the season it wanted. And Mark Turgeon, obviously, is a really good coach. So if anybody's really worth what they're doing in their profession, they're always trying to work and get better at it all the time. Where do you sense, or has Mark said, that maybe he's a little bit better, a little bit different with this particular group than maybe last year because he did learn from it?
Yeah, he talks about chemistry, and he said, this is one of the most enjoyable group of guys that I've ever been around. And I have to agree that I've been around a lot of these kids and these teams, and some blend in, some don't. And I agree, and I think that's what has made it so enjoyable for him. And I've asked him time and time again, he's not interested in the wins, not interested in the rankings, not interested in the last game. And all he's concerned about is his team getting better. Mm-hmm. He said, if we can continue to improve, and number one would be turnovers. We've got to stop turning the ball over.
Right.
And if we can continue doing that, then we're going to be okay. I'm going to be happy. He said, we're going to score because we're such a good rebounding team. We're going to score the basketball. But he says, my number one goal is to get this team better and better every single game. And they are as close a knit of guys. Last night, we did Coach Turgeon's radio show. And I like to have every kid come on at least one time, even guys in the scout team. So we had a kid named Reese Mona came on last night. He's a sophomore. And on the scout team at his high school, St. John's College High School in D.C., was playing for the championship against Gonzaga. He wanted to go see that game. And so had I known that, we would have bumped him up earlier in the show. So he came on, and I said, we'll get you on and get you out of here so you can go watch your high school team play. And I look in the hallway. Here comes Bruno Fernando stopping by to pick him up. But he can't leave until Bruno works the crowd. Walks in and shakes hands with everybody in the audience. And finally, we went to a break, and Turgeon says, hey, Bruno, stop slapping skin and glad-handing everybody. Get out. You guys go to the game and enjoy yourself. Okay, coach. And here comes Bruno to pick up a kid in the scout team and take him off to watch his high school team play.
And Reese, by the way,
guys, Steve.
Yeah. A great bunch of guys, and you'll see Reese in the Jordan Center when you do. He wears number 12, so just so everybody knows who he is.
And he's the strongest kid on the team. Academic in high school, straight 4-0 in college now. Yeah. And a great story of where his brother plays lacrosse at Navy, got a sister that plays sports, and wonderful family. And all these guys have to know their role when they come in. He played with Anthony Cowan at St. John's College High School. They were teammates together for a couple of years. And he knows he's not going to play except in garbage time. But a few games this year, he's worked so hard in practice, and he gives the other guys a lot of problems. And Mark yesterday said he's the best player in practice today, sitting right next to me, Reese Mona. But he knows what he has to do. He knows his role. He doesn't complain, doesn't grouch, doesn't pout about not playing. And he's ready every single minute to go in there if he's needed. So it's a good bunch of kids.
4.0. You know, Jack Ham and I combined for a 4.0 in college. All right. So, all right.
Sure.
I'm not going to tell you how we got there.
You know, well, I'm not going. I didn't hear your comment because somebody else is calling me on this line, and it went beep as soon as you said something. I don't know what you said. Try that again on me, would you?
I said Jack Ham and I combined for 4.0 in college.
Yeah, I've been there, done that. Yeah. We got a couple of guys in this team that are majoring in something I can't pronounce.
Yeah, that's what happens when we're a hoops club or a quarterback club. I'll ask, you know, what are you majoring in? And I'll look at them and go, okay, and that's what? Help me out here. Help me help you.
We had a kid a couple of years ago named Varun Ram. Remember him?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, little Varun Ram from up in Howard County, north of College Park. And he was a biochemical classification engineer with a D5/401, one of those kind of majors. And I used to say to him, can I ask you exactly what will you do with that degree? And he says, which one? Because I'm a double major. I'm also majoring in biomedical biology and with a, you know, all these things that I can't even pronounce. Is amazing. Amazing. Trying to keep up with basketball and practicing and all this other stuff, it's not easy.
We are around a lot of amazing kids. We really are. Because, I mean, you know, I don't think sometimes people don't realize all the great majors that they're in. And that's why they end up being as successful as they are down the road. I cannot wait to see you.
Pennsylvania Sportscaster of the Year thing again this year for the 28th time?
I try not to brag.
I know you did, didn't you? You had to.
You won last month. You won the Maryland Award.
But I'm talking about Pennsylvania, okay? You, how many times did you win that thing?
Oh, 200. I mean, I don't really care about it.
200, but who's counting?
Yeah, I mean, I round up.
Yeah. Somebody sent me a note today and said, hey, so you're in the Hall of Fame. How many Hall of Fames are you in? Three? I said, you're short by 93, 96. Oh, man.
Oh,
well, you certainly deserve it. I'm sure you won it today. Oh, you know who's calling me on the other line? Rose Carter.
Oh, Rose. Miss, you must talk to Miss Rose. Call her back.
Yeah, I'm going to tell Rose right now. Rose, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Okay, Rose.
I'm over here with my friend Steve Jones up in State College right now.
Fantastic. Well,
He's not kidding.
What Rose said, right? Call
I did.
When I'm done with you.
Yeah, well, I guess we're done now.
I will call you, Rose.
Okay.
Right, no problem. I'll call you in a few minutes. Bye-bye. A little live action there, Steve.
So this show now has gone to new heights. All right.
Never had that happen before, have you?
Oh no, because I'm fighting for every rating point I can find. All right.
Oh man.
Johnny, I can't wait to see you tomorrow. Thanks so much for the time, the laughs, the information.
Well, let me tell you something. I just told your producer, I said, man, the people up there have to be so lucky to have Steve Jones as their voice for all these years. And if I lived closer to you, man, in the same area, we would spend a lot of time together. My wife would not be happy about that.
Oh, mine would be. But that's...
I've told
people the same thing. I said, if we live within about 10, 15 miles of each other, we go over and play some golf. Let's go over and do this. We'd be doing stuff all the time.
I could still go play golf even though it's 175 miles away from my home. I'll still come up there and play with you.
Hey, I'll come down there. I'm not kidding you. I'll go down there.
Really?
Absolutely, I'll do it. You know, give me get a chance to spend a little extra time with you.
You put down May 13th.
Yeah.
That's the charity golf tournament that I have, a celebrity golf tournament. We put one celebrity with each foursome. You come down as the celebrity from the state of Pennsylvania, and we honor the great Brooks Robinson this year.
Oh.
At my
May 13th.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll put that down, and then you invite me to come up there with you sometime, and I'll see if I can save up money to cover the greens fees and stuff, and I'll come up and play with you.
Hey, why don't you do that? Because we got the coaches versus cancer thing up here. Come on up at the end of May.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When is it?
It's May 31.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
I mean, come on. Let's make this happen.
Here we are making deals on the Steve Jones Show.
Absolutely. We're doing that, and it was all because Rose Carter called in. All right.
And put us over the time limit, probably.
Johnny, I can't wait to see you tomorrow. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve. I look forward to it, and you guys take it easy on us.
That's it's going to be some game. Thanks.
It is, yeah. I guarantee you. Thanks, Steve.
Johnny Holiday, the great one. To say I think the world of him would be an absolute understatement. Also, a special guest side appearance by Rose Carter. Today's show has been brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.